Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Doug. It's Thursday, January 11th, 2024. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year still.
Yeah, it's still a new year, and I still wish happiness upon you, yours, and others.
You haven't got any pushback yet?
Nobody has pushed it back yet. But I'm not out in public that much. I'm going out tonight, and I'm going to see a lot of people tonight, so I'll really try it tonight and see how much pushback I get. It's 11 days in! What's wrong with you, man? that kind of thing.
Bunch of British people?
That wasn't British. Our guest today is a lovable dude that everybody remembers as one of the titular Petes in The Adventures of Pete and Pete. He's been in, Grand Theft Auto, all that. Good Burger 2, I think he's got a role in. You could ask him about that, Doug. I know you're a big Good Burger guy.
I just like good burgers.
You like good burgers. I mistook that for you being a fan of the Good Burger films.
It's spun an off easy mistake.
Of sketches on all that, I assume. I was too old for all that, but I know it's very popular. So anyway, excited to have him. Let's go to work. Hello, Danny Tamborelli. Hello.
I just want to hear that song again and again.
It gets the guests really pumped, I think.
I mean, I have to reconsider the Danny and Mike podcast theme song because Jangle Pop ain't got shit on that. Fuck.
What's your theme song like?
Oh, it's a song by Miracle Legion, because we're on the nose, The Adventures of Danny and Mike, Pete and Pete. It's a Miracle Legion song. They were the band Polaris was the band, but in real life they were called Miracle Legion.
Well, that sounds like a fun song.
Oh yeah, we pull on the heartstrings, the nostalgia heartstrings. That's where we go. But I'm a boy who grew up on metal, so that just,
yeah,
got me pretty jazzed up.
Yeah, and it must be like, exciting for you to hear children participating in a metal song.
Nothing better.
Because you're going to pass that love on to your own.
That is true. Yes, I've been trying to. The thing is, I try to put Pantera on for the four-year-old, but he repeats words he shouldn't be saying. What can you do?
Yeah, you need to find heavy metal artists that don't enunciate, and then it's less of a problem. But most of them do. Most of them, you could tell what they're saying. What about
Rammstein? I guess I could make him listen to Rammstein, and mm-hmm. He doesn't speak German, so
there you go.
He might catch Scheisse a little bit, but other than that, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, he can yell out any of that German stuff. I mean, that may be a whole new problem, is that you got a weird little Nazi kid running around. But you never
Alfie,
know.
No, you cannot. I know there's a line and then another line and a line and another line. We can't be drawing swastikas, dude. Please.
Yeah, that's not.
I live in Crown Heights. It would be I'd have to move if he decided to go that route. Sorry, Alfie.
Okay, so is it Alfred or what's yeah, the
he's
actual
a, he's
name?
Alfred by birth certificate, because you know, as a grandparent might do to you on their deathbed, my grandfather, because you know, we were all like, he like he's like, you have to have boys, you have to carry on the name, because I was the only boy grandchild, so I'm the only one that can carry on Tamborelli,
right?
So you know,
that's pressure.
Yeah, it's fucking pressure and a half, dude. No one needs that. I didn't need that. I was 20. I was 22 and freshly moved to New York City. I was the last thing I was trying to do was have a child or even think about it. But
so how does
you know,
Alfred? Sorry.
No, you can't. It's okay. No, this is beautiful.
How does Alfred, why did Alfred get the front spot? Like, usually when you promise a older person that you'll use their name, it gets in that dreaded middle position.
Right.
You just like the name Alfred, or did you look ahead to you knew you'd be calling this kid Alfie?
I don't know. Well, you know what? I think that's how I smoothed it over with the missus. She was like, Alfred. She's like, I don't know about Alfred. I'm like, it's my grandfather's name. I dipped whiskey into those little, like, you know, when they're like, lips are dry because they're fucking dying and you gotta like water their lips, and instead he wanted whiskey in it, so I was like wetting his lips with whiskey. The last thing he says to me is that I gotta have a boy and carry on the name. And then my first kid was a boy, and I was like, well, I guess this is a sign, Alfred. And she's like, I'm not down with that name. I'm like, well, what about Alfie? And she's like, oh, what's it all about? And I'm like, that's right, let's bring it back there. This poor kid is gonna, you know, actually he's in a good spot, because all the people that knew about that song are gonna be dead soon. he won't be getting the what's it all about, Alfie.
Yeah, he's not gonna have to deal with that reference, because every previous Alfie's just had it drummed into them. Oh,
drummed forever.
Brutal. Yeah. But
so that's how. I mean, you got to skip from a middle name to a first name, just because I was scared. I was scared that my grandfather's gonna come back and fucking haunt me to death. I don't know.
You don't need that.
Certainly
need that
don't need
all.
That. He was in World War II. I wear his rings and stuff. Like I don't need that. I have to take my rings off when I have sex or masturbate, because I don't want him around.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Get those rings out of the situation.
Then he actually haunts me double. He's like, I needed that, please. That's why he gave me those rings, to live vicariously through you.
Do you take dumps while and leave the rings on?
Oh fuck yeah.
Okay. So back to this Alfred stuff. So okay. the kid is going to get a lot of Alfred the Butler from the Batman.
Yeah, from the Batmans.
Which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
No, because he's kind of the not the brains behind the mask.
He kind of is, because, like, you know, can you imagine what a mess Bruce Wayne's place would be if he didn't have Alfred? Like, there's no way
bangarangs everywhere and fucking,
yeah, and just pick up those socks. And then Alfred's like, you don't have to use the voice. We're home. We're here alone. We're here alone in a cave.
We're here, Bruce. Can I just bring you back, Bruce?
Brucey. He calls him Brucey.
He does.
Remember Brucey Michael boy. Caine, I think, when he was crying in that last one, I think he called him Brucey.
I just think of so, cousin Brucey. That's all. That upsets me just enough that's what I associate Bruce with. That's why he would never been Bruce Tamborelli. But Alfred sounds good.
Yeah. So we're 6 minutes in, and I haven't introduced you to our co-host, Danny. He is also on the phone, like we both are, but from Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
See, I knew if I gave him a little, you know, reference to where he's at, it might help.
That's
him
a breakfast. That's a breakfast taco paradise. Yeah, down there
you go.
There you go. And see, that's our little test. The people we end up not liking on the show say the first thing they say when you bring up Austin is make it weird. keep it weird. But you brought up the breakfast tacos, so yeah. You've launched the top of our guest list. You're the best guest we've ever had.
Yeah, well, by I'm glad far. That the, I'm glad that the other bad that your guest didn't say stuff like, "Well, that's the only liberal part of the state."
What's well, funny? Damn, you
those
that
damn cause... hip, those damn hippies in Austin. Keep it weird or get them weird.
Get them weird.
Get them weird.
Get them weird.
Actually,
make them
some,
weird.
I have somebody. I have someone on my speed dial that I call when I'm in Austin. And says, "Get it weird," but that's mostly just weed.
Yeah, that's just weed misspelled. Okay, so. So now that you've met Doug Mellard, kind of.
Hi, Doug.
Hey, dude.
How long ago did the two of us meet, Danny? We met at Sketchfest in San Francisco, I think. Or did we meet in L.A.?
No, I got. It's not totally creepy, but it's like kind of creepy, but also whatever. You did a Twitter meetup. Like way back in the day at some bar in New York, and we're like, "Hey, come meet up with fellow people who like Doug Benson," or what? I don't remember how, but I was, you know,
was it a best week ever thing? Was there other?
It might have been a best. It might have been a best week ever thing. Was I met Gabe?
I think that's what it was.
Gabe that day too, and that's how. Like, I think that's how. And then you played you did a gig at. Someplace in the city, and we smoked a bunch of weed afterwards. I brought a bunch of really copious amounts of New York City diesel, and I think that's how we became friends. Yeah, okay, yeah, you
that's
can
so funny.
Oh, I mean, dude, Paul Mooney was at your show and came just to see you, and then we were backstage and he came and we were all talking together, and I was like, "Oh my god, Doug Benson, this is great," but that's fucking Paul Mooney, dude. Yeah, so I don't know if that rings a bell for you, but...
Are you saying the right Paul? Paul Mooney?
Yeah, Paul Mooney.
The black guy?
Yes. That's correct. That is correct.
Because Paul Giamatti was also there.
Yeah, well, no. I don't recall ever Paul Mooney coming to any of my shows or hanging out backstage with me.
Well, maybe...
Really high on your New York City diesel.
That is one hell of a strain of diesel. Swear to God, I saw five Paul Mooneys that night.
No, I was just thinking maybe you just, because like sometimes somebody just gets a name, you get the name wrong. Like people say Doug Stanhope to me sometimes because once you've said Doug, once you said Doug, you're kind of on a road,
Right.
And you don't know how to, control yourself. And
a lot
so
of Pauls. My
out.
Father's name is Paul, but he does not look like Paul Mooney.
No, Paul Mooney is very distinct.
Very distinct.
But also very angry a lot of the time. And
maybe I'm
not hanging out with white guys backstage, I don't think, but I could be wrong.
Well, that's how I recall it.
I shouldn't have said shit. That made
me
sound
should have
very
kept
cool.
Him out. Yeah, you should have. Yeah, for sure. And then you did Pete and Pete stuff with us at Sketchfest.
And then
you
Sketch
were Mr.
Fest.
Slurm, and you fucking crushed it.
That's why I knew when I saw you at Sketchfest that smoking was about to happen because we had done it in New York.
That's true. But you did get to smoke with my fake TV brother who told a long-winded story, and I thought we weren't going to be friends anymore because you're like, how can you smoke weed with this guy? He's just got this story that won't end about accidentally feeding his girlfriend weed brownies twice, going to the hospital twice because he was too scared to tell her that she had just eaten a bunch of weed brownies. They're not together anymore. They're not together anymore.
Oh, wow. That's shocking.
Because of the story?
No, who knows? But I mean, if you're too scared to tell your significant other a couple times.
Yeah, that started
health and relationships.
They were on that was certainly probably started the road to oblivion and the disintegration of their union, such that it was because they were just boyfriend and girlfriend, right? He didn't have kids with her or nothing.
Well, that. Verdict's out.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying Everybody listening, don't get your wife too fucked up on pop brownies.
And if you do, okay. Public service announcement, just tell him.
Yeah.
Just let him
yeah.
know.
Yeah, just that's not a bad idea. That's not just a bad idea.
Just let him know.
Even with dogs, I feel like you should tell them. They may not totally get what you're saying, yeah. But I think they have
just
a sense
whisper.
Of
you whisper in your schnauzer's ear, you're going to be fucked up, dude.
Oh, shit. You ate all those brownies, you little son of a bitch.
You owe enjoy, me. Enjoy you it. Owe me, you owe me $50.
I'm going to make you work it off. I'm putting you to work.
Yeah, that's you know, as a former child actor, I think I can think of a few ways to give a dog some work. That sounded gross.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry. I just jumped in.
Yeah, it happens. You're a good guest, though. You don't leave dead air. So we met again in San Francisco at Sketchfest. It was really fun because they did like a Pete and Pete tribute where I was lucky they didn't have all the original actors. So I got to play some of the parts on stage with you guys. And then we got high and I heard that story. And that brings us to now. Is it true that we've hinted that you have a wife? You've written some books with your wife?
That's correct. One book is out and one book comes out in May.
All right. What's the one that's out called? Let's start with that one.
Oh, wow. Cool. Thanks. It's called The First Date Prophecy, and it's an adult rom-com, heavy on the com and also a little bit of rom.
But that word prophecy, that's a scary word. In there.
Yeah. Well, here it's loosely based on our meet cute. I met my wife on Tinder and unknown to me for the first month and a half that we were dating, my wife didn't actually swipe on me originally. And it was after the fact that she was like, oh shit. I think that was a kid from P&P. Oh, well, she deleted her Tinder only to restart it up and swiped again for days until she found me. And then we matched.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You know, if I had only known that 6 weeks earlier, I'm not sure. I think she did a good job, omitting that information until the right time.
Right, but another way to look at it is that she went to all that effort because, like, just it's a needle in a haystack, right? Like, she just has to swipe for a long time till she finds it. And you can't do it casually. You have to pay attention because if you just – kind of going through too quickly, it's very easy to do the same thing.
Right. You just do the thing. If you're in a swiping right kind of mood, and then all of a sudden you're like, no. Oh, you know, it happens. So that's sort of how this couple meets in the book. But it goes very different from their first date, which involves the fictional couple that's based on us going to a there was a restaurant in Williamsburg that was French and Mexican fusion place. And they had a tarot reader like in the middle of the restaurant, like up on like a little like half level. So everyone could see the people like going up to get their tarot read while you were eating. So it was kind of like everybody looked up and it was kind of mysterious. And I had just been, I don't know why I was thinking about it. We were thinking about writing, you know, a good idea for the book. And I was like, oh, what if they like meet and they have their first date here? And it's like an old ass lady, like, you know, older than dirt. And she's given it's like a, you know, not a tarot reading. It's just more of like a psychic reading. And she dies giving this prophecy about it, about like them. And then what would you do? Like, you know, do you stick around and see if this like old haggard lady in a hipster bar was gonna, you know, playing tricks on you for money, or was it real? And that's and then it goes from there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's the dead air. Here it comes. I know. I get it. Is that not in your wheelhouse, Doug?
No, I was just gonna say that I don't know how it is an interesting question, how to react to a prophecy being told by someone who that proceeds to expire, you feel like you're really
giving you the full
stick to it. Right. Yeah. But on the other hand, this is the first date, right?
Right. So you know nothing about this person. So
you don't know.
And so except you see, like, you know, in that scene, their names are Lucy and Rudy. And Lucy is loosely, not loosely. You know, it's kind of like a Lucille Ball tip of the hat too. And so she's kind of that kind of character where she, you know, very big and like loud and physical. So like this, she dies and she like freaks out and she's having a moment, whereas like the Rudy character is kind of in, you know, like not introverted, but like, you know, just he's more worried because he was on TV as a kid and like, you know, he was a child actor and also like doing stuff there. He's like worried about being seen with a dead person and it's not about what actually happened. So that's tough. Right. What the hell are you gonna do? Like, do you stay? Do you go?
Right.
Joe Strummer's not here to tell us what to do. So
yeah, just have I was to gonna like... say, if you need a theme song, you got the song's already written. So
they forge on. They forge on for 20 chapters, and it's dual POV. So I write the. I write all of Rudy's. And my wife Kate, she wrote she did all the odd ones. I did all the even chapters.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
because Lucy is kind of odd.
That's right. Lucy is kind of odd.
Rudy's more even healed.
Yeah. And I guess I should have named him Doug.
Is it out now? This book?
Yeah. First Day Prophecy is out now. You can get it wherever you like to get your books. And we did an audiobook with me and Mara Wilson doing the other part. So that's kind of a fun thing for 90s
that's
children.
Really fun.
Grown up. So, yeah. So she did that.
I'd be into more books on tape if it wasn't just listening to one person for an entire book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's nice to change it up. You all right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, just a little freshen up.
How'd you come up with was there any kind of back and forth with the publisher about what the book would be called, or did you just, was that just sort of the title out of the gate?
Ooh, well, yeah. It went through a couple rounds. It was something to do with Elvira, not Elvira's Prophecy, but that's the name of the psychic. But
oh, I love it.
They thought that it was too, people would get confused and think it was about this big bosomed scary lady.
Yeah, so, other Elvira.
The other Elvira, yeah. So we changed it to that, and then all of a sudden we had a couple publishers asking to buy it, which I found really interesting that like we wrote like a 350 page book that like they loved the content inside, but because it wasn't, you know, because we had it as a different title, you know, some publishers like, no, it's good, but I think as opposed to even being like, hey, you can change the title.
So yeah.
We just changed the title and then it's sold. So that's a lesson to you kids out there. Make sure you have a nice title.
Yeah, because I think, you know, the titles are so important to these people because you know, they're not that creative and they just want to crunch numbers and like everything's alphabetized these days, like books. So like that's one struggle I think some writers have, is that publishers would encourage people to have the first letter in the title be early in the alphabet.
Interesting.
You know, yeah, but then once you're making decisions like that, and it's like you're taking creativity out of it.
Well, yeah, but like we don't like the title, but not have the foresight to just say, "Hey, why don't you change it to this?"
Change the title.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Publishing's interesting. As someone who's grown up in like, you know, in the biz in terms of being on TV as a kid, and then also playing in a band for 20 something years, and like, you know, playing up to those like 350, 500 capacity rooms where, you know, It's certainly a different situation over there. Like I've never been more blindsided by like an email being like, okay, cool. So we got this thing called first pass pages, which is like the last time you read the manuscript before they send it off. So it's like the last chance to like final edit, whatever. And we didn't know necessarily when it was coming, but knew it would be coming soon because the book's out at the end of May. And on the 23rd of December, the day before Christmas Eve, they're like, oh yeah, someone's just going to overnight you your pass pages, and we're going to need them back by the first week of January, or second week of January. Like, oh, okay, thanks for the heads up there. Appreciate it. Like I live and die by my calendar. Like, give me some heads up and like, I'll have everything for you when you need it. But like, you know, yeah. You asked me to read a book like for the sixth time again to make sure that everything's all put together and ready to go on during a holiday. And this holiday season is the first of my kid in school. So this is my first like year of dealing with being at the will of the New York City Department of Education's calendar, which I've been a free man. I'm 40, almost 42 years old. Once I got out of school, I was like, you know, I work is work and schedule is schedule, but like, you know, I could leave when I wanted to. I could, you know, we could do whatever we want. Now it's like, you get the days off that you get off and that's it.
The second book is
called The Road Trip Rewind.
What's that?
Road Trip Rewind.
Okay. And was this a package deal? Did you sell both books at the same
time? That is correct. So yeah. So then that's a weird thing too, because like we wrote the first book during every single available nap time and like nighttime once Alfie was asleep. Because we only had one at that, and that was like hard enough to just do that all and like take all that time and then just be like, well, we did it. we wasted all of our free time to do this. And like, is it gonna sell? And like, boy, that would stink if we couldn't, you know, we spent all this time, months of our life putting this out and it didn't actually bear fruition. And then on the other hand, then once you sell it and it was a too big deal, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, we got to think of another one. let's get to it. So we kept it in the world. So it's a companion book. It's not necessarily, you don't have to read both books, but Rudy has an older brother who is like an A-list celebrity. So like, but the backstory is that the two of them were in a show called Black Hole Sons. Get that, Chris Cornell. so the first book is about Rudy and the second book is about his much more A-list celebrity brother Rocco, who is getting really just pummeled by the writer of a movie that he's on, and she drives a 2000 Jetta, silver Jetta that we used to have, exactly the same model. That smelled like crayons. If anybody's out there that ever had a Jetta from 99, 2000, 2001, you might notice that when you got it, it smelled like Crayola crayons. And 20 years later, it still smells like crayons.
I love that smell.
Which is very strange. But there's a Back to the Future element in it. So like that the car actually time travels back to like a couple days before Y2K in Los Angeles.
Oh, a wonderful time.
So yeah, what a wonderful time.
What an amazing time place.
So yeah, so that's that. So it's a complete departure. It means nothing to me personally. Like the first book, I think was a little bit harder to like edit because at the end of the day, like that Rudy's character in my life kind of parallel a fair amount. So it was like hard to like, oh yeah, I gotta keep this in, like this is me, and then you gotta like step back and be like, this doesn't serve anybody but yourself, dude. So fucking edit that shit and make it nice. So that's what I did.
Is Road Trip Rewind the first title you came up with that for that one?
Yeah, we that was the top one for sure. You know, we like the I'm a sucker for alliteration. I really like something about it. I don't know why, but Road Trip Rewind just sounds nice.
Yeah. No, I like alliteration as well, and that's the title Wide World of Doug's. But
right, Wide World of Doug's.
We got so much to get into. We talk about names on this show. We're going to talk about your name. I just wanted to talk about book titles because that's another interesting area where, you know, you essentially have to name something. So we'll talk about your name after this break. We will be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back, and before we get to the warm-up questions, we're having such a fun time talking with you, Danny, that we haven't even gotten to the warm-up questions. Before that, even before the warm-up questions, Doug Millard has a question for you, Danny.
Oh, please, please. Floor is yours.
What was my...
asking? Hey.
Uh-oh. You broke up.
Forgot it?
Oh, no, you broke up.
Did you forget the question?
Oh,
Are you using technical problems to dodge?
No, I really have technical problems.
We talked about it earlier.
What was your experience like on Good Burger 2?
Oh, wow.
Sounds so natural.
Wow, that's a good, I like that. Well, it was short and sweet, and I'm in a sequence of people who are far more famous than I am. So I'll take it.
If you look in the IMDb credits,
it's like my name, and then underneath me is fucking George Clinton.
Because
it's
in
appearance. So it's like you see my face, I'm singing. It's like a fever dream that Ed has because
yeah.
they stole his Good Burger.
Of course.
They want to give Good Burger back. So it's like,
yeah,
celebrities like singing.
Uh-huh.
I got to do it too. Song. I think really, yeah. And you know, I didn't get to be on set or do anything like that. It was just, I got to send in a iPhone video. And
oh, really?
And that was it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was, they really
now it's
made
on
it.
Your
they really
IMDb
made it.
Phase.
I'll take it.
All right. That's fair.
Yes, I'm glad somebody was. I mean, a lot of people watched it. Paramount Plus is highest viewed original movie. So
oh, yeah, I'm going to watch
got
it.
Something,
for sure.
They got something yeah. good going on there.
No, I want to watch it for sure.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Doug,
my enthusiasm is dampened a little bit that your entire part was done on your phone. You didn't even
sorry.
Get to meet George Clinton.
Yeah. No, I didn't. Well, I don't think anybody in that sequence didn't get to meet each other. Because
nobody got to meet nobody.
Phone.
Yeah.
Nobody got to meet nobodies.
Yeah, I don't like that. I'm not a fan of that.
Speaking of names, Doug, I just got hit with a memory. I did Meltdown once and Kumail couldn't do it and you sat in and you hosted and I told a story about how I was in eighth grade and I saw Megadeth and it was like a really like awesome moment. And then on the way home, I had to shit real bad. And my dad wouldn't stop because he was the dad that was like making good time. And I like pretty much shit my pants at my friend's house. And I tell it more funny and eloquently, and I take it for a ride. And when I came off the stage, you said, "Give it up for downtown Danny Brown." And it still resonates in my ears, man.
Why did I say that?
No, because I was talking about pooping.
You shit yourself?
I was talking about being brown, like, you know, downtown Danny Brown pooping.
Joke,
it was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Oh, wow.
But, wow,
you know, the alliteration in the names. I just figured on your podcast about names that it should have been spoken. So there
yeah,
is.
That's really I appreciate it very much, because I wouldn't have remembered thinking of or saying that.
I want that on my tombstone.
All right, so let's get into the warm-up questions. We may not even get this. Is crazy how far behind we are.
I'll just stop talking, man. You tell me. You ask me questions.
No.
I'll be quick. Yes or no.
No, yes or no. You know you're gonna keep talking. So let's do hand signals.
Okay.
One hand for yes. No. We can't see you anyway. First warm up question: what's your tattoo situation, Danny Tamborelli?
I have three.
Okay.
And what are they? And I didn't get them. I didn't get them until I was in my mid 30s.
Well, because as a child actor, you were discouraged from dirtying your instrument.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but then it was, to be honest, it was little Pete had a petunia on his forearm, and he had a giant like Civil War battleship on his back, and So basically, stupid people who don't understand the difference between television and reality would ask me if the tattoo was real, and I have to explain to them that that would be child abuse and people would have gone to jail for that. And I don't know, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way from wanting to get a tattoo, especially when people are like, "You should get the petunia tattoo."
Yeah,
I'm like,
you're forced to get the thing you're supposed to.
Yeah, you think that's cool now. And if you see me walking by and I actually had that tattoo, you'd been like, "What a fucking loser." Like, get over yourself. That was 32 years ago now. But I have a skull on my arm that has that resembles David Bowie's eyes, two different colors. I know they're not, it's his pupil that was big or not. So it's my David Bowie-esque tattoo.
Okay.
I have one that says soul, and my wife wrote soul. We wrote heart and soul on each other because we didn't want to have matching tattoos because that would, you know, fuck everything up. You know, the old soft shoe song, you know, the old jazz song, heart and soul.
Yeah, people play it together at the piano.
Right. Oh, like yeah. Exactly. So that's written on my arm with the notes. And my wife has it on the other side. And then I have it got really messed up. I had it, she drew an infinity sign because we're together forever. but it was in a bad spot. And shortly after I got the tattoo, I was out on tour with the band, and we were rocking out so hard, and I like scratched it and it started bleeding out, and like the red on it was bleeding out. So it's really faded, and it kind of looks like it would be an awesome like Raphael Ninja Turtle tattoo if I just get a little green on top and a little green on the bottom. But I was more of a Donatello guy, so I don't know. Maybe I can turn that red into purples one day. But
have you seen this new one, Mutant Mayhem?
No, I haven't. I want to go see it. I do. But I have not. I'm really bad about going.
I think it's streaming now too. It's
right
also
now.
On. It's on one of the streamers.
I'm sure it's on Paramount Plus because Disney owns that. Nickelodeon owns that.
Yeah, there you go.
Talk about Disney. What am I doing? I'm too much.
Be careful.
Yeah. Well, I get to skirt the line because I was in the Mighty Ducks and I was in the Adventures of Oak Finn, which are also Disney
Yeah, you're all over the place.
Dude, I got a nice fat check last year because the Disney 100 years old, they used one little tiny clip from the Mighty Ducks where I'm sitting on the bench. You know, you can't even tell it's me, but somehow someone had to go through there to find that was actually me and be like, right. Well, I have some money for you. I was like, oh, that's good. I'll take it.
Yeah, those situations still hitting me
from 1992, man. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's super fun when that happens. But that's, you know, in the strike, that's what we were fighting for, is to continue that to happen, because some people, you know, some actors, you know, don't get work. You know, they run out of work or they have a tough stretch, and those residuals really help.
Yeah.
All right.
We don't have to go down. We don't have to talk about that damn strike.
No, still hits me
a little too close.
What about pets? Have you been a namer of pets?
Yeah. Well, I had a cat growing up who was all white, and I wanted to name it Clorox because I thought that was funny, and my mom thought that was a mean name for a cat to call a cat bleach, but whatever.
Cat doesn't know.
I know. That's what I said. So my sister ended up naming it Snowy. So. Yeah,
oh my
that.
God.
I know. And I was like, Snowy, like, I'm not into it. I had three Percys. They were all parakeets, and they each died terrible deaths. Not for me. I wasn't pulling one. One was my fault. One was my fault that I maybe didn't leave enough water in it. And we went away and I came back and
right.
But that was when my parents killed one on accident because they had bought a couch and they had it scotch guarded, and the couch arrived to my parents' house and it wasn't fully dry.
Oh no.
Smelled so bad. And the fumes, even two rooms away, killed that one. And then the third one died of natural causes, but they were all Percy.
I got to say, I'm impressed that I asked you if you've named any pets, and then you told us about all of their tragic ends.
No, the cat Snowy died in my sister's arms. I think she was really traumatized because they're not nice.
Well, maybe she shouldn't have been squeezing Snowy so hard. Just let Snowy breathe. You can't love it. You're smothering Snowy.
I thought she was just quiet.
Why couldn't you Clorox and Snowy? You should have just, you know.
That's what called... you do. That's you Clorox Snowy at the end. You don't let her get down. You just bleach her out.
I'm saying in between those two names, just go with, you combine them and call the cat Chloe.
Well, that's fair. Maybe you should tell my mom that.
That's a good cat. That's a cute cat name. Isn't the cat in Pinocchio, Disney's Pinocchio, I think is Chloe. I think. Ciro? Maybe it's Ciro. Anyway.
I think Ciro sounds more Italian.
Right? Exactly. Have you ever, Danny Tamborelli, named, are you a person who names like boats and cars and houses and castles? Like, do you name?
Man. You're hitting all of it. Yeah, my first car was Wendy. My first car's name was Wendy. It was a 2000.
Hang on, slow down. I got to write this down. All right, how did Wendy die?
Wendy died. Wendy died in college because I hit black ice in Amherst, Massachusetts. Ooh. And flew off the road into a farm and rolled the car over a bunch of times. This was and to be frank, this was a week and a half before the 3-year lease was up. And I was about to give it up. And the adjuster didn't actually total the car. So I had to pay for the 70,000 miles I went over because I was a dumb kid. And I got a 36,000 mile 3-year lease. And I put 110,000 miles on that car. And that fucking guy didn't total the car. So I had to pay out on that mileage. So that's how that one went. And Pal was my second car. I downsized from a Tahoe to an Explorer, and my Explorer's name was Pal because he was just my pal. And he lived a good long life.
Referenced it by name a lot?
Yeah. I'm getting in Pal. I just took Pal. I just took Pal in, get some new tires on Pal. And then the silver Jetta that we had for all those years, that was my wife's brother's, and then hers, and then ours for a little while we were in between cars, was named Dietrich after Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a Nazi that made good, right? Or no, I can't remember. He wasn't really a Nazi. He was a spy, I think. He was a good guy. He was a good guy. That's all I'm saying. He was a good guy.
Yeah, they probably
I realize how we start
the word Nazi out right at the beginning of describing someone. Followed up by good guy. One of the good Nazis.
I know. No, he was fighting against them. Anyway, I don't. That has no bearing on anything except that my son really liked that name, and when we got our new car, he's instead of Dietrich, it's just Dieter. So now our car is named Dieter.
Oh, because the kid couldn't say Dietrich?
Well, he liked Dietrich. He was very sad when Dietrich was no longer. He actually, for like the first 2 years of his life, he wouldn't go in any other car. He refused to go in any other car. It had to be Dietrich. But then I said, well, what if we name this car Dieter? And speaking of names, in high school, we had all these high, you know, we had a language called the U language, and all of us had nicknames. And like my best friend's name was Matt, and his last name was DeSteno, and DeSteno, DeStunu, Noost. So his name was Noosty, and mine was Raider, and Raider went to Dier, Dier went to Dieter. And then there was all sorts of times when like I was really a habitual Irish goodbyer. So that turned into me being like the international man of mystery. So everything was like Dieter, or if I'm in Japan, my name is Dishimoto. If I'm in, you know, if I was in France, I would just be Dieter. I don't know. It's so we gave everybody nicknames because we smoked too much weed and got too many laughs out of it.
Yeah, this is really. It's,
yeah, you're
it's
really hitting it. I didn't know honest. That I'm mining all of these names, like realizing how much I do name stuff. Like
this is gonna have to be a two-parter just based on the card.
Yeah,
my bass is named Bessie.
Right.
I have another bass. My workhorse bass. She's got a maple neck, so she's Blondie. Yeah, so I definitely if I had a boat I'd probably name that too. I think you have to, don't you? Do you
the
have
boats,
to?
You have to, because you know you got to say something when you smash a bottle on it. You know,
you got to give it your some booties sort of, down some by the dock.
Dumb name, yeah. Like, Caddyshack is so funny because the part of the boat that, like, that when she hits it with the bottle, the part of the boat that breaks off just looks like it was added just to be broken off. It's
oh,
like, so
dude,
lame.
I know.
And even the way it breaks off, it just looks like it was just hanging by a thread, just waiting to be knocked into.
Hey, into you scratched my anchor.
But yeah, I've been thinking about that movie. Been thinking about that movie a lot this week because the Cindy Morgan who played Lacey Underall, she passed away a few days ago. And anytime anybody from Caddyshack dies, that's the headline. Someone from Caddyshack died, because like just being a person in that, in any role, just being able to say, yeah, I was in Caddyshack, that's pretty legendary.
Yeah. Except for the guy that actually wrote it and was like, this was supposed to be important.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, another Doug Kenny.
Oh, right.
The movie about Doug Kenny, I always fuck up the title, about his days at National Lampoon. It's called like Cruel and Unusual Punishment or something. But anyway, just find it with Will Forte if you haven't seen it. All about the National Lampoon early days. It's really cool. Good movie. Okay, so, but here's the thing. We've been doing this show, Wide World of Dougs, for, you know, a while now. And each guest, you know, generally gets the same questions. And I've been asking people, like, you know, for a while now, do you name, you know, have you ever named a car or a house or a boat or whatever? And the answer is, it's been uniformly no. Like, it's led to what? No. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
That's so strange.
I think some people aren't remembering, because I think, like, when, especially when you're in your teen years, you got to be given things weird names, you know, because it's like you just pointed out to us. It's like you really brought me back just that you even had with your friends, like a language that you named that, and then, you know, it's hard to explain to others, you know, how it works.
Yes,
that kind of stuff is wild.
Why is your friend whose name is Joseph, why do you call him syphilis? Well, actually, yeah, he does have syphilis. Story. Yeah, it's a long story.
It's not just he gave
syphilis. It's syphil for short, and only his good friends can call him that.
Oh my God, syphil.
Yeah. Syphil Shepherd.
That's a fun
name. That's a good one.
Syphil Shepherd. Love it. Yeah, that's a good
why not name stuff though? It's a great it's great, and it makes it easier, you know. I don't can yell kid one, kid two. It's like it's Alfie and Penelope.
It's fun. You're living your life, you know, like it's just a fun way to you know, discuss things, you know, especially if you're talking about which car you're gonna take, you know, my car or your car. I'm gonna take Pal.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
And it feels like they do something for you too. You name it and you automatically get a heightened sense of security, I think. Like if you have I don't know, maybe that was just
you're more comfortable part of, like, with the vehicle.
Yeah, it's not just a piece of machinery. You're giving like life to it by giving
part
it
of the family.
Name, you know? Yeah.
You come out to your car.
I was like, dude, Wendy saved my life. Well, and snow, you know, that if it hadn't snowed like 3 feet of snow the day before I got into that accident, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd be dead. I'm not even kidding.
Like, oh, I was thinking of that cat, Snowy.
Oh, no, snow. No, yeah, no, different. Right. No. Yeah, see, look, I got too many names. I named too many things. I can't keep them fucking straight.
You made up for all the people that didn't have names for things.
Oh, good. Good. You send them my way. I'll name all their shit for them.
New business.
That's a new business venture.
It really is funny. Like, you know, like you kind of squeeze one or two out of people, but there's never anybody that's like, I name this and I name that. Like, you really.
Well, that's what happens.
Remember it all.
Well, you know, when you start smoking weed regularly at 16, I think you.
You get used to being weird and doing stuff.
Yeah, exactly. If I have these things in name order, I can figure it out. Is that it's a green explorer? Is that going green one? Oh, it's Pal. There's Pal. Cool.
So where did Penelope come from?
Penelope was just a
the
name.
Stork.
Yeah, just from the stork. There were a couple. We go back and forth, being like she could have been a Ramona.
Between
Ramona, Penelope, we're like on there. I don't think we're having any more children, but if we had another girl, I would throw Ramona into the mix.
But Penelope, that's a real cute, sweet name and fun. Like,
yeah, and you got a lot of nicknames. You got Nelly, mm-hmm. You got Penny. My son calls her Penel, sometimes calls her Canel.
Penelope. Okay, your son is weird.
Yeah, he does. He's just, yeah, he can't understand stuff. But I like his. He's naming stuff too. He can't be that weird, right? Or he can be, I guess.
Yeah.
Lopey.
He called her shithead earlier. It was weird. I can't say that in school.
That's the worst nickname I could think of for Penelope to say. Hey, Penel.
Oh yeah. Well, you think of penal kind of thing, penal colony. Yeah. I keep like,
I don't like it. I like
or Luffy.
Do you know? Do you guys know Wacky Races?
Oh
Wacky
yeah,
Races.
Yeah, Penelope Pit Stop.
Is the
female racer. It's not because she's nice to gentlemen. That's not why they call her that. They call her that.
Well, that would be, you'd flip, you'd have to invert it. It'd be Pit Stop Penny.
Yeah. Oh shit! Here comes Pit Stop Penny.
Oh man, who's got $20? Here comes Pit Stop Penny.
No, don't talk about that about Penelope that way. And then, what's Penelope's middle name? Alfred. Alfredo.
Penelope. It's Penelope May and Alfred Noel.
Oh, okay.
Oh wow.
So you got You gave him nice middle names instead of.
Well,
just,
so May and May. Well, the middle names. The middle names are family names. So Noel is my wife's mom's maiden last name.
Oh, okay.
Name. And so that's Noel, and then
that's nice.
May is her was her grandmother's name on her father's side.
Is it the complex Noel? Noelle.
Oh no! Just Noel.
Just Noel.
Just like Christmas. You know, Noel.
No,
you see that?
No umlaut or anything, though.
No. But but he's certainly more. He's Pennsylvania Dutch. You know, I only got the Italian and the Irish, but my wife's got German and Swiss and Hungarian, and so he's all. He likes dumplings. He likes pierogies and. Gnocchi, and he's figuring out potatoes. He likes it all.
That's good. Dude, we are coming to a close. We're coming to the end of the episode. And, you know, Doug nailed it on the head when he said we might, you know, have to make this a two-parter. And we might have to have you back if you're willing.
I'll come back anytime you want. I wasn't sure if I had to, like, have Doug's, famous Doug's on. I had to, like, Doug Watkins is a double bass player from, like, the bebop era.
Yeah, so, see, that would have been fun to talk about.
It's okay. Yeah, we can do it another time. I'm happy to.
We always ask people about Doug's last. That's at the very end, you know. But we didn't even get through any of this stuff, that we normally do with people's names, you know. There have been double episodes in the past because of this, you know, and I call them the best guests because, you know, we do chat about a bunch of fun stuff and you know, it's such a fun conversation that we don't get to the meat of what we're here to talk about.
Wide world of Dougs.
But we could, that's the thing is we could, it's a good push for a road trip weekend because that's coming out in May.
Yeah. Oh, they'd be happy to chat more.
Be good to have you back again. So we'll arrange to have you back. But in the meantime, the book you can get now is called The First Day Prophecy.
The First Date Prophecy.
I'm sorry. Apologies for my poor handwriting. That makes a lot more sense, the First Date Prophecy. You really improved the title from my version.
You would have passed on it, Doug?
Yeah, I would have passed on the First Day Prophecy. The first time I heard it, I was just focused on the prophecy part because, you know.
Yeah, it's a good word. It's a buzzy word, yeah.
Yeah, but it makes me worry that it's going to be about some sort of religious kind of thing, you know. And clearly it's not.
Would you have bought Elvira's curse or I don't even remember what it was at this point.
I don't know because that really does Elvira. Really, she does own that name. That's like if you just did something called Pee-wee's something. You know, it'd be like, well, Pee-wee's Pee-wee. When there's a new Pee-wee in town,
right? Oh, dude, you know what? As a dad now, you know, Raffy was like the kids' music for me. There's a DJ Raffy now. Is not connected at all, and my son found it the other day, and I was like, no. So if you're listening, DJ Raffy, you change your fucking name.
Bad Raffy. Some
bullshit.
Yeah, that's not. People can do anything, you know. It's just like that one guy.
You should have approached
him. He's ruining marshmallows. That one guy.
You should approach them because you can offer up an alternate name easily.
Dude, that's like
good at naming shit.
Dude, somebody bought DannyTamborelli.com once a while ago and tried to sell it to me for like $10,000, and I sent an email back to them being like, You bought the biggest lemon on the internet, pal. You think I'm gonna spend 10 grand for my name? I can get DannyTamborelli.net. I can get I don't give a shit. What the hell are you doing? Yeah. But then I can do the same thing for those people. It's like, hey, DJ Raffy, for 10,000 bucks, I'll give you a new name.
You're really good at naming things.
Clorox. And, DJ Clorox.
DJ Clorox. Drink some Clorox if you're not careful.
Okay. Anything else that you'd like to plug, Danny? Anything else?
Yeah, if you like rock and roll. If you like rock and roll music, you can find my band Jounce, jounce.org. We have a record coming out the end of the year. We're still working on right now. If you like podcasts, The Adventures of Danny and Mike, which is with my old fake TV brother who doesn't tell the long-winded stories on the podcast because I make sure he doesn't, because otherwise I would go insane myself.
Well, that's cool. Doug Mellard, what do you got to plug this week?
I'm not performing this week, so I'll just plug, just find me on social at Doug Mellard and buy or listen to one of my many albums that have the words Fart Safari in it. There you go.
Yeah,
I will be checking that out myself right now.
Yeah, please
check
do.
Out Fart Safari 3, Fart Hard with a Vengeance. It's one of the better ones.
It's a, it's the better one, the best one in the series, you think?
I think so.
Okay. I never heard you rank them before. I'm going to be at the aforementioned Sketchfest doing a couple of shows in San Francisco on Sunday, January 21st. And all of my dates, as you know, are at DougLovesMovies.com. Also give that a listen if you're not already a listener. And thank you for listening to Wide World of Doug's with part Danny Tamborelli, part one.
Oh, wow. You've set it in stone.
Yeah, it's official that this was the first part and that there will probably be a second part. But they said that about Dune and we're still waiting. Do you like those Dune? Sorry, I didn't mean to ask you a question. I got to wrap it up. So we'll have
wrap it up.
We'll have you back soon, Danny. And we always give every episode of the show a name. It's you know, working the word Doug into some sort of pun involving the guest, and then I say that at the end, and then that's also the title of the episode. So thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. And as always, the adventures of Doug and Doug.